Walk the night alone. Ooh, dance in the soft night. Sing to the morning.
Can't stop, won't stop.
From Buffalo, New York, where they will always be green jello to us, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on All WNY, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a musician in the 716. I'm Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Dennis Reed Jr.
In this episode, we have an interview with the jangly, ethereal garage pop group Dream Beaches, and we'll play some songs from their current 2017 EP, Disappearing Act.
And as always, Ryan will catch us up on recent and upcoming shows worthy of your hard-earned entertainment dollar.
And finally, we sent Nate out to Mr. Goodbar on June 18th to talk to a slew of bands, and we'll play his interview with alternative emo band Winsky.
Yep, and that clacking that you're hearing is Will taking photos of us, so don't be alarmed.
It's the paparazzi. They're climbing through the windows.
It kind of sounds like a porno. Like, you ever watch a porno or like you hear like somebody's doing stills at the same time?
Dennis, what's porno?
Oh, it's this thing that my dad showed me. Winsky, we're going to hear some of later, and that has nothing to do with your band Broski, right?
No.
Completely different entity.
Different skis. Just a lot of Polish going on in Buffalo.
Exactly. As listeners of the podcast know, our Western New York Corner Stage Vans Warped Tour live stream is coming up.
It is coming.
Right around the corner.
We're going to be at Warped Tour on Wednesday, July 25th. We're going to be broadcasting from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're going to be interviewing the bands in between sets. We're going to be talking to fans in the crowd. We're going to be doing trivia. Yep. And while the bands are playing, we're going to be playing a bunch of cool local music from all the Warped Tour bands. And we've added bands like Pure Eel, Ghost Pool, Winsky. So we got a bunch of other bands coming in too. So it'll be a lot of, like, if you can't make it to Warped Tour, this is what you want to be listening to. So we'll be telling you what's going on, and it'll be a lot of really cool local music, some cool pre-recorded segments and interviews. So yeah, check it out. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and we also are going to have other All WNY personalities joining us on the show and doing some pre-recorded things. Well, think the guy from the Think So Joe podcast is going to be on with us. I can never remember his name.
The
hell is that guy's name?
Oh, well, give me a second to think. Oh, I
remember we did it.
Yeah. It's Peen Wackman, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's right.
Peen Wackman.
He's going to be there, and there's going to be pre-recorded segments from Amos and Andy. Is that the name of that? Nick and Nate? What are those guys called?
It's not Rick and Morty?
Rick and Morty
and their podcast, and
I think that's, is anybody else pre-recorded?
It's a Corinthians Comments on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes, yep. I believe he's a
biblical
guy from Rochester
who
comments on things. So, we've got a bunch of people from the All WNY family that's going to be joining us for stuff.
Seriously, so it's going to be super cool.
Yeah, it's Joe Kent and Karina from the Think So Joe podcast, Nick and Dan's podcast. They're going to be doing a segment for us. Corey Comments on is going to be doing some stuff for us. We're going to actually be doing a couple short interviews with Ballsy, the door person from Mohawk Place. So there's going to be a lot of fun stuff. We will have, if you can't catch it live, we're going to probably post, I think, everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And on August 1st, we'll be releasing a best of episode, so you can catch a wrap up then. But check it out. It's allwny.com. If you're going to be at Warped Tour, come by and say hi. Maybe we'll give you something. It could be a t-shirt. It could be a hug. It could be Dennis's icy stare that he gives musicians when they get a note wrong on stage. Who knows what you'll get? How did your Bob Dylan tribute concert go?
It went really great.
Why don't you give us a brief monologue about it that you may or may not have prepared?
Why don't I just read off this piece of paper that I'm holding to tell you all about it? So, yes, 614 was Nietzsche's annual celebration of Bob Dylan, organized by a friend of the podcast, Sam Marabella. Dylan's real birthday was May 24th. I found out when I was doing promotion for the show.
It's observed on June 14th?
That's right.
Okay.
It's like, it has to do with the Gregorian calendar, and there was two stages. stages going for this bash at Nietzsche's. Up front, another friend of the podcast, Zach Ward, was playing, and he did some really lovely things, including an absolutely angelic I Shall Be Released that made me happy that I cut that song from my band set, because he sang it way better than I would have.
Was he playing solo?
Yeah, he was okay. A solo acoustic, yeah. And so that was great, but I do have to take issue with something. Zach played two Traveling Wilburys songs at the Bob Dylan show. And it wasn't even like Tweeter and the Monkey Man or Congratulations, like songs that Dylan actually sings. It was Handle with Care, and I think it was End of the Line. I'm not positive. But I Cry Foul, sir.
Shenanigans!
I call shenanigans. But also appearing were Tyler Westcott. The Steam Donkeys were awesome. They were like, right, they finished the night. I watched every song of them. They were great. A band called The Complete Unknowns. And of course, the Sam Marabella Band. Friend of the podcast, Sam Marabella. And my band was called Bob Dylan Approximately. We came together for this one show. It had some Jim Duersome on drums, Lauren Clifford on fiddle and vocals. My longtime friend Keith Glass played bass. And a gentleman I just met, Brad Robbins, played lead guitar. And everybody was great. We just came together for this one thing. And in the show notes, we will put our band's 5-song set. We did some kind of different arrangements of the stuff, but it was really fun. I think we're going to be asked back next year. We should be, because there's a lot of people in front to watch us. So,
awesome. How did you guys end up picking which 5 songs you were going to play? Did everyone just pick one and say, this is what we're going to do? Or you said, I'm singing, I got to do this?
Well, originally,
Dennis dictated them.
I dictated it, yeah.
A memo that was not to be answered to.
Exactly. They said, I will broach no correction.
Rules really early.
No, it's like, hey, I want this to be a group process. What do you guys think of these exact 5 songs?
Right.
And then I never asked them again. Ryan, you are involved with Infringement Festival this year, right?
I am.
So what the hell is Infringement? Tell people what Infringement is, because apparently nobody's heard of it.
it's a festival that lasts 11 days. It's July 26th through August 5th, which covers 2 weekends. It ends on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're putting music, drama, workshops, poetry, artwork, basically anywhere that'll
let
us...
All the things that make life worth living.
Absolutely. All over, like, just mostly around the Allen area, kind of surrounding Nietzsche's. They want to get people to Allentown. So it's mostly those kind of venues. And it's a lot of really exciting stuff this year. We have Gypsy Parlor, Nietzsche's, Milky's, Mohawk Place. We've got a lot of
cool venues.
Really cool local bands. Cardboard Homestead's playing. This is playing. Bloodthirsty Vegans are playing. We'll talk about it a lot more. Our next episode is going to be our Warped Tour Infringement Festival Cobblestone Live Extravaganza.
Spectacular.
So we'll get kind of into the shows a little more here and there.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff that's going on is free, and you do get a chance to see some concerts in places you normally don't. One is the Holly Farms parking lot, which is right across from like where Nietzsche's is.
Always wanted to see music there.
We've got the acoustics, I bet, amazing. Who's to say they're not?
Exactly.
We have an all-day concert at LaSalle Park. We are not at LaSalle Park. We have 2 stages, so we're going to be rotating back and forth.
Great.
There shouldn't be any wait between bands, so it's just going to be music from like 12 to 9 that day. And what I'm really excited about is we're doing Broadway Market. I'm going to be probably working the roof and the lobby that day, but we have on the roof, we're going to have local bands. There's a flower garden up there you can walk through.
Cool. I actually have been on the roof in that place. I went for like an Urban Sketchers Buffalo meeting up there, and it's really cool.
I went like a week ago for the first time, and I was super, like, I didn't know what to expect, but it was really nice.
Yeah, I can see it being an amazing setting for some music.
And I guess a local group is going to be selling, they're going to be barbecuing burgers and hot dogs up there. And then you go down into the lobby right where the front door is. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a stage set up there too. That's going to be some of the quieter artists. Like, it's going to be a lot of rock bands up on the top. There's going to be quieter artists in the lobby.
Okay.
And then I think it's the second floor in the parking garage, in like a back corner, we're having some of the more kind of gothic, hardcore, artsy...
Nudity? Nudity.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But, you know, like
I would.
We're having some electronic bands, maybe some a couple DJs and stuff. Just, you know, it's kind of a little out of the way to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the people who are there hanging out, like, really want to be there. And
what stage is Hit and Run on?
They didn't send in a proposal, I guess.
Well,
I guess.
Well, because pretty much everybody who sends in a proposal gets in, right? Don't
absolutely.
They just find a place for
yes.
you?
Yes, yes.
Hit and run, if you're listening, it's not too late.
It actually is too late.
Hit and run is too late.
Proposals end in about May. If anyone's interested, we are looking for volunteers. Right now, we just need people to hang up posters, design flyers, and just kind of help promote the events that are, you know, getting the people out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once we get to the actual festival, like I said, we're going to need liaisons. We're going to need, you know, we're going to have some people who are just going to go to a couple different shows and just kind of keep track of how many people are there, just so we kind of, you know, for next year know how turnouts were at specific places, how certain bands did for next year.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to need people probably to drive volunteers around. We might need some people to help with sound. We might need, like, there's all sorts of things that people can help out with. So if
cool.
it's something that they're interested in, you can contact me directly. It is it's at Sir William Idol, IDOL. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook under that handle. If you're interested in volunteering, shoot me a line. It's you know, at the very least, if you volunteer, you get to go out and see a bunch of really cool bands.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be fun. And my involvement is that Kurt Rotterdam posted on Facebook that he was looking. He's retiring after this year.
And Kurt Rotterdam has been the organizer.
I think he's been running. I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, Kurt also books at Nietzsche's. He's booked at a bunch of other places. He was in the band Anal Pudding. He's
mm-hmm.
He's a local stagehand. Yeah.
On the
absolutely.
Scene. Like a very handsome Rasputin.
I was kind of thinking like Rasputin meets Ray Romano, but either way.
Okay.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
We're rolling. We're rolling right now.
We got the bus and everything.
We do got the bus right now.
The bus is pretty loud.
No, that's a good sound effect though. It gives you the vibe of the street.
I feel
we're
like
struggling.
We're in an environment.
The struggle is real.
Yeah.
This is Zach Ward from First Ward. You're listening to The Struggle is Real, Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnyradio.com.
Get on the bus. We gotta go.
Get on the bus.
Thanks, guys.
Dropping in the ocean, a blade of grass, a mobile, yeah, a speck of dust on a mountain, lost in this confusion.
Robbie from the Goo Goo Dolls.
The Goo Man.
Yeah.
The Gooster.
Robbie Goo.
The Goo Shooter.
Apparently, Infringement Festival has been, well, at least last year for Music is Art, they took care of the art installments inside the silos.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen video of it. It's great. But it's just like all these like little chambers of different things you can do. Like, one might be like a DJ playing some funny music. Another one might be a station where there's a guy rapping, but there's a mic. So if you want to rap with them, you can rap with them. So it's
cool.
Just, you know, it's definitely
kind of installations.
Yeah, it's all about being, you know, with the Infringement Festival, you know, like I said, anyone who applies gets in. So, you know, there's a decent amount of mainstream stuff in there, which is perfectly fine by me, but for the silo, it's definitely, it definitely gets more into the artsy, the weird kind of stuff. And
more experimental.
So he walked us through that to show us around. Apparently they had some, there was petrified hay or something that was in there that it took forever to clean out. They never thought it was actually going to be. So, like, there's more room in the silos than there was before.
Oh, okay.
Or grain, I guess it would be some sort of...
Yeah, some old actual remnants of buffalo's
and
grain.
And it was so petrified the rats wouldn't even eat it.
Wow.
That's how. So, but apparently they cleaned that out so that we have even more room than we did last year. And Infringement's going to be putting...
Hey, everybody, the petrified grain is gone.
Let's party.
Party time.
Actually, in one of the spots where the petrified grain is gone, they have a climbing wall built.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually climb to the top of the silo.
Whoa.
Right? It looks... I'm scared of heights, and I'm enfeebled, so it's
terrifying.
Not anything I can do, but that sounds amazing.
You'll cheer someone else up.
But Robbie wants the infringement people to set up a few different spots around where Music is Art, which is going to be at Riverworks. If you're not familiar, Music is Art is a annual festival that Robbie puts on that highlights, you know, local art and local bands. So it's going to be at Riverworks like it was last year. There's going to be 21 stages.
Whoa.
It's going to go from Riverworks, and if you're looking at Riverworks, it's going to go to the left past like General Mills, and there's a bridge, and then on the other side of the water from where Riverworks is, there's just going to be a whole bunch more stages, which I guess is they didn't have those last year.
Okay.
So it looks like it's going to be a real cool event, and it was cool checking it out and getting to go to a press conference and standing behind Mark Pollen cars,
who
smells kind of like you'd think a politician would.
Smells.
So no, that was, I mean, for me, just meeting Robbie Goo was pretty cool. So
Yeah, it's great.
I dug that. No, he's a super nice guy. So
yeah, he is nice. Big supporter of the scene.
Yeah. Just
obviously,
super friendly probably guy. Like he seemed more interested in talking to like the people there than he did the suits.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I think any
that wins your heart.
I think yeah, exactly.
You know, I saw something a little bit disturbing on Facebook the other day, Ryan. I was scrolling through my feed, and, you know, it was pet picture, lunch picture, Trump fucks pigs, and then all of a sudden, on your feed, because this was all on your feed.
Of course.
I came to a post that said, hey, I'm looking for another band to be in. And I did a double take because I thought this can't be Ryan that's in my band and Lady of the Tiger, and I looked again, and in fact, it was. Explain this thing to me.
Well, your participation in Bob Dylan approximately in Zuma has inspired me that one can do more than one band at a time. No, I had such a blast with Broski. You kind of got the vibe in the room that not everyone was happy working with everyone.
Okay.
And that's cool. Like, you put five random people in a room, that's not surprising at the least.
So you mean like among the other bands when you saw them play?
Amongst the other people in the band, is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's cool.
So I kind of, you know, I pitched them a second show. I could have got us into Tudor Lounge, and like a couple just like non-responses. Like, okay, if you guys don't want to, that's cool, I get it.
Yeah.
But
you got the taste at that show.
I really enjoyed singing.
You got the taste.
And
you enjoyed the panties being thrown at you, be honest.
Well, not the first or the last time that's going to happen.
We'll follow this story.
I liked expressing myself in the way I did. I certainly enjoyed yelling like that.
Sure.
Like, it's way more fun than you'd even think it is.
It's cathartic.
You know?
Well, good luck. Just don't be letting it infringe, if I dare use that word, on the Lady of the Tiger time. We're all here stuck in our workaday worlds, swabbing the decks.
When the working day is done,
sewing,
do you just want to have fun, Dennis?
So I sure do. Girls do. Sewing the sails, provisioning the hardtack, and generally just trying to not run aground into the shallows. Climb now, if you would, with your tiny telescope up into the crow's nest and peer out across the expanse of the Western New York music scene and tell us what you see.
Is that a short joke, my tiny telescope? All right.
It's just a generally diminutive joke.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
All right, on July 6th, Mohawk Place, a local funk band, one of my favorites, Tiger Chung Lee, is going to be playing a bill with the Damone Jackson Outcome. I actually wasn't able to find any information about Damone Jackson Outcome. Tiger Chung Lee is a really great funk band. They don't draw very well, and that kind of amazes me, because I've listened to their stuff. I think they're really impressive, and amongst Buffalo funk bands, which there's a bigger scene than you'd think.
Yeah.
If they really dig into it, I think they're the best.
Maybe they should throw some covers in. If you're listening, guys. The writing's on the wall. This is Jeff Myers.
Then July 7th at Ironworks, Mom Said No is doing their album release. Everything I've heard, it's like really cool, slick radio pop. Reminds me of Humble Braggers a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I like Mom Said No. We played a show with them, didn't we, at the Evening Star? I know I saw them at the Evening Star. I think maybe they were later on in the night, maybe you left.
Maybe.
At the 2017 All WNY Radio Awards. I think they were on later.
Oh, you know, you might be right.
Yeah, and they were really good.
Yeah, no, their first album was done with all like really great local musicians. Mary Ramsey sings backing vocals on a couple tracks, actually.
Wow.
And then on July 11th, The Lady or the Tiger is playing with Goosebump and Jack Toft.
Yes, Jack Toft.
Goosebump is formerly the Germaphobes.
Yep.
They feature members...
From Toronto.
Yep. They feature members of the band Beams, which is kind of they're kind of a offshoot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've listened to their stuff. It's really poppy. It's really cool. I am so happy we got on this show.
Yeah, that was a cool booking, and I'm psyched too, because Goosebump, they have just like a very poppy, very kind of literate, very whimsical, a little bit of a jangle to them, and I think it's going to be a great fit with our group. So I'm looking forward to that show. And Jack Toft is pretty freaking interesting. You played me some of his videos earlier.
He's... You know, I don't want to make it sound bad, and this isn't an insult. He's a local weirdo.
Yeah.
And
a lovable weirdo.
He sings a bit. He raps a bit. His rap is very stream of conscience, where the flow is really cool and he doesn't rhyme. But he also does, like, Adam and His Package type performances. Mm-hmm. People are kind of familiar with that. Will, are you an Adam and His Package fan?
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Will just
I'm the only
a fan
one.
Of the package.
From what I've gathered, he just, like, plugs his phone into the PA, and that's his backing track, and then he just goes off of it. And then on July 13th, the Bighorn Sheep, they have their CD release party at Mr. Goodbar. Opening is Detroit Red and Blue Belt Devil.
On July, colorful lineup.
On July 19th, a band called Burn the Break is releasing a CD at Babeville. This is a really interesting story. There was a local musician producer named Al Geisler, and he wrote a collection of music, and he formed a band, and he went into the studio because he knew his health was failing. So he recorded all of his parts, but then died before production was over. He died of pneumonia, complications from pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
So Burn the Break is carrying on. They're releasing this album, and their backing vocalist / percussionist, whose name is Chris Canestaro, is now going to be on the lead. So,
okay, wow.
That's a really interesting story behind it. He's going to send us some tracks at some point, so maybe we can place them on the next episode or something.
Yeah,
I'm
cool.
Really curious to hear what it sounds like.
When is that show?
That's July 19th, and that's at Babeville. On July 21st, there's two shows going on. There's Ghost Pool is playing at Sugar City. They're a local pop punk band. They're playing with Into the Wake and Worst Things, which are both kind of in the same genre locally. And then they're also playing with Trench, and they're from Syracuse, and Anyone Anyway from Providence, Rhode Island. So it's a pop punk kind of show over.
Yeah, with a little punk pop thrown in.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
The pop punk has to influence the punk pop.
Yeah, it's a cycle.
And then also on that date, if this interests you instead, Murmur, who's an REM tribute, is playing at Ironworks.
Oh, cool.
So a lot going on. A couple things I want to touch on real quick from this list is at some point I want to schedule a death match between Murmur and other REM tribute band Dead Letter Office.
Yeah.
I think we need to do some sort of battle of the bands here and
see which can outstype the other.
Yes. Whose singer has their hair the shortest, whose drummer has the most tumors.
Oh, I knew you were going there. Ouch.
And who are the shiniest and indeed happiest people?
That's right.
And then one thing I wanted to
talk... Who has most completely lost their religion?
And then one thing I wanted to talk about with Goosebump. Mm-hmm. And also something I wanted to mention about kind of our involvement in Warped Tour is this is just a really simple idea, and a lot of bands don't get it. Ask. That's mm-hmm. that's a big piece of advice, because when it comes to playing shows, when it comes to asking to get on Warped Tour, the worst you can ever get is a no.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Goosebump show, I saw that they didn't have an opener. I listened to them. I thought, they sound like my band. Mm-hmm. So I contacted Marty, who books at Mohawk Place, and I just asked them, do you have an opener? And he says, they're looking for openers. So I contacted him on Facebook, and I said, hey, my band would be perfect to open. What do you think? And they're like, sure, jump on. And now,
nice.
I mean, to be honest, like, I love Goosebump. I think they're great. And also with Warped Tour, you know, All WNY is sponsoring the stage. I went mm-hmm. to our friend and procrastinator, Scott Leffler.
Okay.
And I reached, so they're sponsoring the stage. So I'm like, hey, can you hook a brother up? You know,
yeah.
Get us into Warped Tour. We're home. We're part of the family.
Yeah, we're homies.
And he said, you know, he's like, he said, everyone's asking for passes.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he should have made an exception for us. But so, you know, that kind of fell through. So I found some of the bands who were playing on Warped Tour, and I asked them, I'm like, who's putting this stuff together? I looked on the event on Facebook, and I looked at the organizers list so I could see who was creating the events.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to Dewey Rich Bar from Green Jello.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to Kaiser Solze, who's a Warped Tour. He's on tour with Warped Tour right now. He's doing the national tour. And he said, yeah. And like, I was, you know, my schedule's been really packed lately, because I wasn't planning on anyone saying yes to this. You know, it was just like, yeah, let's just send this out and see what happens.
Yeah.
And you get, and so, you know, try those things. You know, don't be afraid to get a no. You know, don't,
right.
you know, you don't want to be embarrassed. Maybe it's part of your ego. But, you know, when you're a musician, you have to have thick skin, and people are going to say no. But, you know, just being able, you know, you see bands on big shows, and sometimes you wonder how they got there. And sometimes they just ask a few people for a little bit of help, and they get it. So
yeah.
That's just a good piece of advice.
Yeah, yeah. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, I think Wayne Gretzky said,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he did.
All right.
This is Corey from Dream Beaches, and you're listening to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Plans and I have
You just heard Habits by Buffalo's very own Dream Beaches, and we are fortunate enough to be joined today by two of the members of the group, Corey and Andrew.
Yep, welcome guys, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so what do you guys do in the band? Andrew, what's your role in Dream Beaches?
I play guitar and sing backup.
Okay.
Yep. I play guitar and sing lead.
Okay, and what about the writing? What are the writing duties in the group?
Well, I think it's a group. The first record is interesting because I came on about 3 weeks before before Habits was released, and Corey had a lot of song ideas written, and I kind of just put some of my own guitar ideas over the tunes that were already established, and then in the second EP, we kind of wrote it as a group, but predominantly Corey writes the lyrics, and we kind of do form together.
Yeah, I feel it's like a spark of an idea, and then we bring it to the group, and then I'll probably take it back for a little bit and try and develop a lyrical idea, and then bring it back to the group, just kind of like a salad rinsing.
Oh, great. iterations going on.
It comes
out, and then you do a little bit, and then Corey adds, I'm gesturing, Corey then takes it back and finishes it some more.
I still feel like, I mean, even for songs from the first EP, we're still like writing them in a way.
I guess I might be downplaying a bit. Yeah, like it was interesting going in because there were certain, there were like pieces, and then we would kind of put them all together, kind of like puzzles, you know, and adding new parts and bits. So, a lot of it was written in the studio too. So
when you say you're still writing the first EP, do you mean like that as you play the songs live, they're still developing and changing?
Yeah, I think so. Like especially, I mean, we've added like a couple horn players and a fiddle player and like developing parts for them. And also even just within the songs themselves being like, oh, what if we like, you know, cut this chorus halftime.
Right.
Do you think that, I mean, they evolve then over time. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's important to kind of keep your music evolving, to kind of keep things interesting for yourself, so you're not just always playing it the same way every time?
I think it's partially selfish. I mean, just for our own attention. But it's also, it definitely, I think, you know, if we play a series of Buffalo shows, you know, it gives some of the audience a different perspective coming back.
Oh, cool.
So, and to be clear, what I was talking about before, I was talking about the actual writing and recording of the first EP, but as we keep going, we keep kind of reinventing the tune as if we can.
That's awesome.
So some of us have watched some videos of your band, and how many people are actually in the group? Has there been a recent census? What are the most recent numbers?
Last time we took the population. we're at 7 members now.
7 full-fledged, we play a gig, everybody gets a cut, members.
In town, yeah. I think tour is like, we just went on tour and it was just the 4 of us. Mm-hmm. But eventually we'd like to bring everybody. It's just totally economical, like, cost thing. You know, how can we get everybody on the road and feed everybody and give them a floor to sleep on.
It gets complicated.
You guys can't all have pillows. I mean, we're not.
There's only 2 blankets.
You share sleeping bags. Yeah. That's nothing wrong with that.
This isn't the Beach Boys. All right. So was that always part of the original vision to have a big band, or did this, you know, have a 7 member band, or did that just sort of evolve organically as you looked for more sounds to add to the songs?
I think organically. I mean, I had always heard, especially, like we have a Barry Sax player and a tenor sax, and I had always heard that type of arrangements kind of in the songs. So to find the players that were into it, I think it felt natural, but it also felt like we were kind of reaching for it eventually. And then, like, Sally's playing fiddle with us, and there are a lot of songs that lend themselves to having, like, some sort of string part in it.
Did you have a blueprint in mind, like, starting out? Like, are there other artists that do this sort of thing that you thought, like, hey, well, you know, I want to try some of this other instrumentation? Or was it just,
I feel like our blueprints and resources and influences are so vast between the 4 of us.
Yeah, I mean, I've always appreciated Personally, I've always appreciated the person who's just one solo artist that can, like, totally move a crowd, like, you know, from Bob Dylan to Iron and Wine, all these people like that, but also, like, how they can, like, expand outward into, like, something that can hold a tune, like, one person can hold a tune together, but then as you, like, put on layers and layers, you get a whole new dimension of...
Yeah.
So I think that it was organic, as Corey was saying. But, yeah, I mean, the specific instrumentation is totally... out there. I think it just happenstance.
I feel like it's kind of like exploring what a song is.
You could know, have
what, used, where, yeah. What's the core of the song, and how do we, like, how far can we stretch it?
Yeah.
How much can we bring it back in?
Dennis, for the record, I always want to put a Barry sax on everything.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a project I've done. It sounds so cool.
Well, we can do that. We'll have to get some phone numbers from you. By the way, people at home, that's baritone sax.
Yes.
Gotta, you know, for our non-musical audience. Disappearing Act is your latest release, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6-song EP. Tell us a little bit about the EP, if you could, like how it came to be.
Well, Trademark, I guess. It has the intro and the Trademark for the first two, and that was actually the first song we all
that's the big, like,
together.
Vocal harmony one, right?
Yeah, it's got, like, a swell with all the string arrangements and stuff.
We had been doing, like, Trademark live for as long as the band has been around, I feel. But it just happened to end up on the second EP.
Okay. Right?
I mean...
Yeah, I think we just felt like it wasn't ready to be represented in a recording when the first EP came around, so we waited a
little
bit.
Sometimes things need to simmer.
Absolutely.
You know?
So I love the artwork for that album, by the way. I was checking out on Bandcamp today, and I'm going to try to explain it to our audience here. It's a field of white, but in the middle is this colorful blob that kind of looks like a lot of... To me, it looks like a lot of colored pencils, like, pointing out in every direction. Is that what it is? Do we know? I know it's somebody called French Presley who actually did the artwork.
It's our really good friend Adam Presley. His handle is French Presley. He did our first EP as well, and when I came to him for the second one, I said, Adam, I kind of want our album to feel like you're opening a dragon fruit for the first time, but also to represent the theme of the album, which is just kind of like the ephemeral nature of living. And then
it was the
first thing he sent, and I was like, oh, that's perfect.
Oh, that's great, because I look at it, and let me lay a completely different interpretation. Like I said, like, to me, it looks like colored pencils sort of sticking out, right? Mm-hmm. And it's called Disappearing Act. So the storyline that I composed as I looked at this was that there's an artist who's doing the disappearing act, and they've disappeared and sort of transformed themselves into these pencils that are almost like, you know, as the artist's instrument, and they're also like quills, like quills from like a porcupine, and they're a barrier to anybody getting close to them. And the artist himself has disappeared, but just his tools as defenses have been left behind.
I think Dennis dropped a little acid before.
there could have been some old acid, maybe stirred up a little bit.
You're having a flashback, okay.
It's happened. It'll probably happen during the podcast. We usually warn people.
No, that's cool.
There'll be sound effects.
That's right.
Well, I was just going to say props to Adam for being able to, like, fulfill, like, Corey's desire, but also have the ability to be interpreted in
absolutely
those different kind of ways.
I think if you look at the first EP, it actually takes the same. It's the first EP is this river of people reaching for something, and then it takes kind of that same color spill and draws it back in, and that's kind of like the idea is, like, I think there's a lot of interplay between the two overarching themes of the album, and this one kind of draws it back in to disappear to, like,
Because I did get that the field of white around the perimeter was, you know, something drawing out of the space and either, like, collapsing into a point of singularity or whatever exactly it's doing. But everybody can go to the show notes, and they'll be able to look at these album covers and compare them for themselves.
Yes. So the vocal
maybe
harmonies.
Drop some acid.
Yes.
We'll bring some to share.
We'll call that the Dennis Reed experience. The vocal harmonies are really impressive on there. I saw you guys live. Is it, like, how difficult is it for you to reproduce those when you play live?
It was fun coming up with them, and I think that we kind of...
Oh, it's always fun coming up with them.
Well, but also, like when we when we recorded it, we sang the parts that we had come up with individually. So we're kind of like me personally, I'm like married to that sequence. So yeah. when it happens, it's even if I can't hear myself on the monitors, I try to, you know, rescind a muscle memory, and it seems to be okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the finer details just totally comes down to how much we hear ourselves, but like the overall mood of the harmonies and movement is
sure.
Sometimes multitasking is a thing to learn.
Oh, absolutely.
To like figure out, it's like, oh, I did that thing on the guitar on the record, and I also sang, so I got to figure out how to do both of those at once. And that's fun though, because it's like trying to. It's like a physical challenge.
Yeah, trying to juggle.
But yeah, exactly.
Now, was everyone able to come in and be able to sing? Was there someone who kind of needed a little work to nudge them into place? Or
yeah, who's pitchy? Who's pitchy? Yeah. Yeah. Name names.
Oh.
Oh, they both raised their hands.
Yeah, well, when we recorded it, so I work at Select Sound Studios during the day. I work on other records besides our own, but we actually had somebody else named Matt Estep who did the mixing and mastering, but for the recording process, we kind of did it ourselves at this at Select Sound in Kenmore on Elmwood, and we actually were able to like produce ourselves, so like when Corey was doing the lead parts, we would, you know, we would kind of as a group be like, all right, we need to do this take again. But then it was true when Jake and I were doing harmonies. Yeah, we'd be like, wait, let's try to, why don't you guys switch and like go, like, you know, I think I had a higher part that it just wasn't working.
You've got a soft voice like Red Velvet.
Yeah, so I had to get down, soft, low voice. You know, yeah, I had to get, Jake and I had switched the harmony. So it's a lot of feedback. Like we'll hear ourselves and work it out.
Did you have to do any or a lot of pitch correction in the studio? Did you do any of that?
I didn't do any when we did it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going back to the first EP we recorded with Matt in the studio the whole time, and he said he did very little correction in that first EP, so I'm hoping it was even better for the second one, because I feel like I practiced a lot.
I feel like, you know, we were kind of hard on ourselves with that tuning, so again, we spent a couple days just on harmony, or on vocals, so...
It shows. It really sounds polished and great, the vocal harmony sound. There's some really nice arrangements and performances.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the songs on Disappearing Act.
What's that title? That nice brief title. You remember that snappy title.
I can't remember that snappy title.
It is. The only reason you want to go to California is that it's the closest thing to heaven in your mind.
Snappy.
Easy.
Yeah. We try to stick to short titles.
I love it. Yeah.
Memorable.
Something people can get tattooed on them. You can put it on a sticker.
I listened to stuff on Spotify, but I didn't see the titles. And I actually thought you were just, that there was a lyric in the note and that you forgot to put the song title.
Oh, no.
Excellent. Completely professional. Is that a song about suicide?
Yeah. Oh. It is. I'm actually impressed. Like, I'm surprised. No one gets that at first because it's a very soft song. People are like, "Oh yeah, that's just like an easygoing, like summer jam, like super cool." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what you think."
That's what I thought. But Will, our producer here, actually sussed that out.
Yeah. That was. I can't pretend to be that smart.
it's pretty much just like a dual. You know, like there's that surface narrative of somebody driving away from their problems and depressions and everything, but then there's, you know, a lot of wordplay, you know, like lifting the Golden Gate, like, you know, jumping off the Golden Gate, like, I don't know.
Did you have anyone or anything like in mind in particular when you wrote the song? Was there
I think
We were listening. I don't know if this is a deep dive. We were all listening to a podcast by the name of S-Town. I don't know if that was a direct influence or not, but it seemed in the ether of our minds.
Yeah, I think that, and I think a lot of what I try to do lyrically is tie in my environment with my own like insecurities as a person to like men that. So I think, yeah, actually, I kind of forgot that S-Town was, like, happening then. Did you guys listen to S-Town?
I listened to S-Town.
That was, like, yeah.
What's S-Town? I have not.
It's a podcast on, it was done by the same people who did Serial, I think, like, the same producer did S-Town. And it was about the guy's name, actually, I think, was Brian Reed, who did the entire thing. And it's about a small town clockmaker, I guess. Right? He was like a watchmaker and a clockmaker. And this guy sent in these scathing letters about the town that he lived in to this NPR correspondent, Brian Reed. He's like, I live in this shitty town. Everybody's assholes. They're all terrible people. And you got to come here and, like, you know, and report on these people. They're all up to nonsense. So the guy goes to the podcast producer goes to visit him. And S-Town comes from Shit Town. It's short for Shit Town. Okay. That's what the guy calls it. It's a shit town. And so Brian Reed goes to the town, and he just becomes kind of fascinated by this character. And this guy is he seems like a hick, you know, but he's actually like a world class like watchmaker, and he makes like these, and he's into alchemy and chemistry, and he makes like a large maze in his backyard and stuff. It was like really kind of a fascinating
character. I think I'm
gonna
have to check that out. That
it's great really storytelling. It was really great storytelling. So, and then I don't want to give it away for anybody.
Miles Spoilers.
But what?
No, I was just saying mild spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Possibly.
But, yeah.
And I think, like, working that into, like I said, my own, almost like fantasies, I feel like is a dangerous word to say, but, like, you know, my own thoughts and depressions and insecurities, kind of working through that using this, like, pedal of a character that I create.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's like almost like cathartic to work in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great. Well, we're going to listen to that song at the end of the interview, so so stay tuned for that. How many tours have you guys been on?
I guess two substantial ones.
And then a lot of like weekend ones.
Little limbs.
Well, what's a substantial tour for you? How many weeks?
The last one was 14 shows in 17 days. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Okay. So I would say anything over a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So we went from Buffalo to Chicago. That was as west as we went. Then we went down to New Orleans and then back up.
Oh, New Orleans is fun.
Yeah, definitely a great.
It was about
that was
four
our first
days there.
Yeah, well, it was our first day off was in New Orleans too, so it was like the best respite. To have like cocktails to go, it's pretty crazy. Like actually warm weather in March. We went in March, so it was like a great, it was heavenly to be in like 80 degree weather when it was 30 here in Buffalo.
Yeah. Awesome. Any horror stories? Anything that just went completely wrong?
Actually, that tour, it was actually like uncomfortably smooth.
Not uncomfortably smooth,
but it was like, it was kind of really nice.
You're just waiting for something to go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all pretty agreeable. You know, there's no like personal, like we try to, you know, we're not divas, I think. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, first night of tour, we slept above a bowling alley and like on hardwood floors.
That was actually, yeah, that was sweet.
And yeah, and it wasn't like no one complained, you know. Ooh. It was just like, okay, this is like
this is where
how
sleeping.
We're starting things. Like,
yeah.
Why not?
I've always called it an avant-garde camping trip, and sleeping above a bowling alley
it's
fits into that. Yeah,
it was weird. You would think bowling would be the most disturbing part of the night, but then they closed, and the cleaning crew came in, and they were like so loud till
that was
5:30 in the morning.
Coughing and waxing, probably right.
Yeah.
Well, I had tried to prepare for it because I knew like sleeping on the ground, you know, sleeping on a lot of floors. So I bought a sleeping pad, and it seemed to be amazing. But I had some bad luck. And right away, first day, it didn't even last an hour. I ended up waking up every hour to like refill it, and it was like it was fine for the most part. But I think I was mostly worried that every time I moved, it was like the loudest. Everybody would definitely know that I was uncomfortable.
Just that it was creaking
plastic. Yeah, so I ended up tossing that.
You guys seem like really relaxed on stage. You seem kind of like everything about what you do just kind of feels loose and laid back. Do you have like a pre-show yoga session, or are you just extremely comfortable Whiskey. With what you're doing?
Whiskey? I think no, but we should. Whiskey and yoga.
You know, okay.
They have beer yoga.
That's an idea whose time has come. No, whiskey and yoga.
That's something.
But I think we've all been playing in different bands together in some capacity for a while. So it was like, I think that's just trust within members. I think we all trust each other to like pick us up if something happens. So mm-hmm. I think that's how it feels. So I think it's fair to be relaxed with it mm-hmm. when we're all like, oh, I know where you're, you know, I can look at Jake or Gabe and be like, okay, this is where we're at. And we can take it from there.
We like talk without talking.
Mm-hmm. Good communication with the eyes and everything on stage.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I used to get really like down after our shows because just like from a, you know, like the you can always do better kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think I'm to a point now where it's like kind of just taking the shows as they are and like getting back to a point where I think we try and just promote a comfortable environment. So if we're not comfortable, mm-hmm. like we're not even following our own steps.
Yeah, there's a quote that I always like fall back on just in general throughout my life. It's by a guy named Frank O'Hara, who was like the opposite of a beat writer, I guess. He was like, him and Jack Kerouac didn't like each other. But apparently, from what I understand, but there's one quote, I think it's a conversation with the Sun on Fire Island. At the end, he says, you know, take things freely in the appropriate with the appropriate sense of space known in the heavens, and you'll carry it to hell if necessary, which I doubt. And I don't know if it's like a conscious thing that we all do or not, but it just seems like we, you know, take things as they come. And like, mm-hmm. like as we play a show, it's like we try not to like ride any sort of expectation on it. And so therefore, like, we can breathe better.
Yeah, that's a great way to approach it, because when you're uncomfortable on stage, a lot of times the crowd can tell that too.
Yeah, and absolutely.
If you don't look like you're having a fun time, then probably, you know, if you can't even enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, you have to accept it.
You know. How are the you know, people sitting at the
despite
the bar
self-deprecating.
Stools?
Yeah, despite the nature of like wanting to self-deprecate, you have to.
Right.
You have to
accept what you're doing a little bit. I mean, that's always a hurdle for me too, playing in bands. Like, I'm always, a lot of times, I'll get off stage and just thinking that, you know, we blew it, but everybody else will be like, oh, you guys sounded so tight and stuff, and sometimes you got to forgive yourself little mistakes. Yeah. A lot of people won't.
Usually when Dennis tells me he blew it, I remind him that there were 8 people there, so
that's
we're
right.
Okay. Our reputation is intact.
That's right.
Well, it's also, I think there's a magnification, too, as like a band in general, when you make a mistake on stage, it might be something so minor that only the other members, or maybe not even anybody else knows, but you personally are like, I didn't hit that note or something.
Those are the best mistakes. I love those mistakes.
Sometimes, like, other people, I've gone up to them after a show and been like, oh man, I really loved when you played that one part, and I describe it, and they're like, oh, that was a mess up. Like, I messed up there.
Oh, you mean when I dropped my pick?
It's like, oh, okay.
So what do you guys like to play in Buffalo? What are your favorite places? Or Western New York in general?
Well, we just played the Thin Man Festival, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was cool.
Where did that take? Well, the Thin Man Brewery is an actual physical location, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so where is that? I've never been there.
It's like right on. It's like
West Ferry. If you're going south.
Yeah, it's like closer to Utica.
Yeah,
like Hodge.
And that was awesome. Why?
They blocked off the one block, and it just seemed it was a nice way to start the summer. So maybe that's not necessarily a venue,
mm-hmm.
but more of a
more festival one-off kind of thing.
That was like very recent.
I mean, it stood out because, I mean, first of all, it was like really just there were a lot of people there. Everyone was in a positive mood. You know, I feel like you get a big mix when alcohol is involved.
Yeah.
But everybody was just like really accepting and
engaged too.
And the sound was really good, which like for outdoor things, it's very hard to get
tough,
good sound.
Yeah.
So we had good sound, and it was like bouncing right off all the buildings too. So you had a really good, it almost felt like you were indoors, but we were outside.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So who carries the equipment at these shows? Are we at roadie level yet?
We are our own roadies.
You're your own roadies. Oh, yeah.
We take our turns, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's not one person who gets more, like the drummer. There's not a drummer that
Jake packs the van. He's the official pack master.
Yeah, when we do it, it might be real similar, but he'll have to do it. You know, he has to do it because there's a specific. Tetris.
Yeah, he's got the Tetris. Yeah,
so we just have to like throw the equipment at him.
But you know, sometimes Corey will take both of the amps, both the guitar amps, and other times I will, and those are the because the pedal boards aren't that crazy, but
right.
we just take. It's a pretty egalitarian system.
Oh, okay. but no roadies just yet.
Not yet.
So what's next? What shows are you playing for the rest of the summer?
That's it for us. No. We just decided we went late to the interview. we're writing right now.
Sure.
We're doing it at a... You know, we kind of took some time off... at least getting together. And actually, it was weird because we would only see each other's four shows and rehearsals, and we're like, hey, guys, we got to get back to just being people. And I think recently we had a rehearsal at Gabe, the drummer's place, and it just felt really like we had no expectations again, and we just like came in, and it just felt like we were back together. I don't know, it was really refreshing. We just like didn't have any song ideas even. We just were writing, and it's the most, you know, group effort so far, it feels, as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Do you have a pretty sweet jam spot there at Gabe's? Is it spacious? Are there leather couches? What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, Gabe's got a nice setup. It's like a big living room, mm-hmm. and then all the rooms are off of it. With, like, I can't have lost my voice.
Just high ceilings.
Yeah,
high ceilings. It's like a group place where he just has a drum set kind of perpetually set up, and... Mm-hmm. It's a cool place to just hang out, and mm-hmm. I think the first we ceremoniously had some scotch. For some reason, I had some Lagavulin, and I was like, "Hey, I work at a restaurant that specializes in that." So it was very cool to just like kind of like enjoy ourselves like that, but also. We kind of have like acoustic sessions at Corey and Jake's place, and for real loud stuff, we go to Select Sound and we rent out.
Just do like after hours rental.
Yeah, because it's soundproof, so we can go. So we go at 10 p.m. and we're not bothering the neighbors. So that's pretty nice.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks for coming by, you guys, and talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks
To lighten the mood here, we're going to play a song about suicide that we promised earlier. Do you have the title memorized? Why don't you tell us?
The only reason you want to go to California is that it's the closest thing to heaven in your mind.
Here on The Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
On allwny.com.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like they were sifted from a riverbed. To give us parting gifts, pardoning many desperados that were just stopping in. You walked to the bodega and spend it all on cigarettes. But the nicotine abuse and singing two mornings excuses will never help you to forget. Spread it wide.
All right, so now we're going to hear Bubblegum by Winsky, and after that we're going to play you an interview that Nate recorded on 6/18 at Mr. Goodbar.
Which was the CD release party for this.
Correct.
I'm here with Winsky.
Take two.
Winksy.
Oh God, Winksy.
Banksy.
Winksy.
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed oil.
All right, I'm here with Winsky. Let's start. Can you guys just tell me, introduce yourselves, tell me your name and what you do in the band?
I'm Joe. I play drums.
I'm Ed. I sing and play guitar.
I'm Jason. I play lead guitar.
I'm Dan. I play bass.
So not too long ago, you guys released an EP. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. Enola? How do you pronounce it? It's alone backwards, but how do you pronounce it, Ed?
We pronounce it Enola.
Okay.
Around the dot, man.
Or is it NOLA? Because in Alone Forwards, the E is kind of silent.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
We were thinking like Enola Gay, like the plane that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and stuff. So like, we have to pronounce the E. Were we not?
Is Joe unaware?
We have nothing to do with World War II references.
That's totally what it was.
We literally had a picture of a fish tank, and it was a fish looking out, and he looked alone, and it was like him writing alone on the glass, so that's why I came up backwards.
My album is about the life through the eyes of a goldfish. It's my girlfriend's fish, and his name is Fishy.
And all I want to know is, does he think about me?
You should pretend. Just say it's the World War II thing as well, because...
Yeah, you can do all of it.
I was impressed. I was like...
It's multidimensional.
It's got layers.
It's like an onion.
Where do you guys record the record?
We recorded at GCR with Jay-Z Bricky.
Shout out to Jay. He's a man.
Yeah, definitely. He's like the best fucking mother that I could ever have.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like the guy to go to now for up-and-coming indie acts.
Yeah, especially for like pop punk and heavier stuff, he's the guy.
What was the experience like recording at GCR? Because for those of you that don't know, it is kind of Buffalo's premier recording studio.
Yeah, Robbie does a great job of having like a really high quality studio that's still affordable for local musicians. So it's always a great experience recording there. They do a great job. Their engineers are great. The rooms are great. Everything about it is just top notch, from drums to vocal recording. Everything's great there. So, yeah, it's definitely awesome and intimidating at the same time. I've never recorded with someone who A, knew exactly what we should sound like, and B, knew what we wanted to sound like at the same time, to be like, hey, let's do this instead. And within like 30 seconds, we all knew what he was talking about. Whether it be vocals, guitar, bass, even just little things like, hey, let's change the tone of this guitar. Or even none of us were like, we didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he kind of became a fifth member of the band for that week that we were there, for sure.
Quick question for Ed. I know you can't see him, but have you ever worn sleeves on stage?
Yes.
Okay, I don't believe you. If I had guns like that, I wouldn't wear sleeves either. So.
If you're not going to now talk about my sexy calves, then I quit this interview.
You can't quit this interview because you're fired. So you guys are on tour like a good amount, an impressive amount of time. What's that like?
Ooh, can I use this one?
Go ahead.
You know, it's about love. It's about good times. It's about partying. But it's also about playing music. I've gone on 3 tours with these guys, and my first tour I was like, oh God, like, can I do this, right? Like, can I handle being in an RV with these young gentlemen for that amount of time? And, you know, it ended up being actually pretty cool. You know, we all have the similar sense of humor, and we all show each other the equal amount of disrespect that you would expect in a band, and it ends up working out pretty well.
Joe, you mentioned raising mental health awareness with your music. To me, I've listened to it 3 or 4 times, Enola, but there's definitely those themes coming through. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Ed? Or
that's
Joe?
All Ed, man. I just
get stuff.
Yeah, so I kind of write all the songs when I'm in a darker place. So... a lot of the songs are themed 2015, my older sister passed away at the end of the year. And it's kind of about finding yourself after losing someone who you care about, whether it be like a loved one, whether it be like a relationship, whether it be like a friend, whatever scenario that you're in and you just feel like you don't have any realistic value. So back in January of 2016, I actually checked into a mental health association and got whatever help they were able to give me. So ever since then, I kind of was like looking for ways to give back to them. Didn't really hit me that, hey, this music is kind of hitting people, until the last CD went out and then we went on tour, and about 7 of the days people came up to me individually after we give like a little speech every time we play. They came up and they're like, hey, this song really meant a lot to us. This is what we kind of got from the music. And it was really cool that we kind of got that like interaction. So I was like, hey, the same association that I kind of asked for help, I'm going to donate a part of each merch that we do from now on, each kind of whatever we do from this point on is kind of going to go to Erie County Mental Health Association. probably won't be a lot, but whatever we can give to them without making ourselves not exist will help someone, you know? That's kind of our goal.
So, yeah.
Great. Where can people buy that record, Enola?
Spotify. I mean, I don't think you can't buy it.
Scream it in your sleep. Put it on repeat.
Yeah, so we'll put one of our songs on repeat overnight, like four nights in a row. It's got like 4,000 plays, which is really cool. But no, I think it's on iTunes. I don't know if we get that. It might be on iTunes. I don't really know.
Can we sell it on Bandcamp?
Definitely on Bandcamp.
You can buy it.
If you come out to any of our shows, we have physical copies too. We did get those.
We got physical
copies. Physical
copies
are the way to go.
Pony up, boy.
Do you guys want to plug in our music video?
Bubblegum?
Yeah, we have a music video for Bubblegum. Check it out on the YouTubes.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah,
it is on YouTube. I'll put it on YouTube.
Joe, the drummer, and Jason, me, the guitarist, are the thumbnail, and we are the cutest members of the band.
They are top five cutest members of Woodsy.
Top five, probably the cutest members of this band.
Yeah, I could agree.
I'm not in the video, so as far as I'm concerned, it's trash.
As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I'm not in it.
Definitely.
Who's the top one cutest member of Winsky out of the top five?
Anyone who interviews us, which has only been one person, is the cutest.
We actually haven't found that member yet. We all start at like 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're trying though.
Well, you said Jay was the fifth member.
Oh, he's top one then.
Number one, right there. Yeah.
You thought I wasn't listening when you're talking.
His fingers.
You were right.
The way he mixes Ed's vocal screw ups are the best.
No, that is literally the best.
That man can make a beat out of a coughing fit like no other I've seen in my life.
There's actually no percussion on that record. It's all really well mixed coughing fits.
All right, what's next for Winsky?
Try to find a new member.
First, we have to play the show at Good Bar tonight.
First, we have to play the show. Then we need to find a new member for sure because Dan does not like us, and I do not. And I, after listening to this interview, you all probably understand why. And. Record a new album. Actually, we got a few songs that we've been working on. You can't listen to them yet. And
We'll kill you.
No, just kidding. We love
but,
you.
But not really. We might kill you. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
But yeah, record a new album for sure, because I'm sick of playing these songs. And like, I get it now. Like, I used to be so mad when, like, I would yell at a band during a show, like, play that old song from 18 years ago, and they'd be like, oh, screw up. I get that now. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to play these songs.
And how long have you been in the band?
Like, I don't know, like 3.5 weeks.
Last question. What is your guys' favorite band tradition or pre-show ritual?
Bag spaghetti.
Can you explain that?
Put as much spaghetti as you can into a bag and just throw it into the air, and whatever happens, happens, man.
Well, like, it sounds like nine out of 10 times it's just going to fall to the ground is what's going to happen. Well,
you'll learn, man. Okay. You take two full Ziploc baggies. Not quite freezer bags, not quite sandwich bags. That weird middle bag that, like, you can kind of put a cell phone into, but you kind of can't. You fill one. You fill one with a preferred noodle.
Whatever noodle spaghetti? That may be.
No, you gotta cook it a little bit.
Baked ziti
is Jason's preferred. Joe's an angel hair type of guy.
Angel.
You fill them up.
Linguine.
At the other bag, you fill your favorite type of sauce. Sometimes barbecue, sometimes marinara, sometimes just maple syrup.
D'Amato sauce.
Barbecue. You fill them. You fill
nice
both.
Sauce.
You fill both bags
maple
up.
Syrup was a
and then
barbecue
and
pasta.
Then you pick a member at random. Three turns. One, two, three. And then you just chug all the way up. Whatever happens, happens.
I'm sorry, I don't believe you've ever done this.
We've never done that.
We do it every time. And the fact that you don't believe us just shows that you're irresponsible.
I just know you're a smart enough band that if you did that, you would take a video and use it for promotion. Because, like, that's hilarious.
No. This is secret sauce. This is a secret sauce.
Well, you're not giving out the ingredients. It's just pixels, man.
It's still secret sauce, okay? Nobody's going to be, you know, showing videos of this.
The software where they can enhance it and see the secret
sauce. The secret ingredient is nutmeg.
So you guys are going on tour soon, back on the road?
Just a weekend show.
That comment.
June 28th to, I think, July 1st. It's Michigan and then some places in Ohio.
Michigan dropped.
Ohio dates. And then we have a tour that we're going to be announcing at the end of summer soon.
Okay. July 1st.
Can we plug that, or is it secret sauce?
We can announce it July 1st.
Right. We'll announce it. Stay tuned July 1st. Go on our Facebooks and our tweets. No, we don't twit.
We don't twit.
Never mind. We are not on Twitter.
We do not
go
twit.
On Facebook.
We do not Twitter watch.
And Instagram.
Instagram. We got the Grams.
And the Facebook. We will tell you July 1st.
Two more Buffalo shows coming up. Both of them are very secret sauce.
July 24th, August 24th.
Oh, well, now they're not so secret, I guess.
July 24th, Mohawk Place, August 24th.
Super secret sauce.
Great. Well, it's been way too long. I'm going to have to cut out half of this.
You should have got us before the drinks. That was...
No.
I don't think there is a before the drinks with you guys.
There is no BD here.
All right. We will be back in 2 weeks on July 15th with our... Buffalo Festival Spectacular. We're going to be talking about Infringement Festival. We're going to be talking about Warped Tour. We're going to be talking about Cobblestone Live. Maybe if something, one of us unearths something else in the meantime, we'll can talk about that too.
We're talking about the struggle.
So, you know, tune in. We'll tell you where to go and, you know, we can aim you in the right direction depending on what you're into. So, thanks to our guests from Dream Beaches for hanging out.
Andrew and Corey.
Yes.
And visit BuffaloMusicPodcast.com for a naturally enhanced podcast experience. You can find, like I slowed down to get creepy and naturally. You can find photos of our guests. Ryan's awesome Spotify playlists of local bands are on there. Our Facebook, Twitter, and all that. All at BuffaloMusicPodcast.com.
And be sure to check out the website of our mysterious benefactors, allwny.com. They've got a lot of other great programming.
Yeah, there's streaming web radio of all local music on there. Local news, music reviews, podcasts by Think So Joe Podcast.
Hosted by Marvy Hamstein.
Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, Scott Leffler, and The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, a podcast about digital photography and immigration reform.
Dennis, I think our mysterious benefactors get their money from selling illegal jeans.
That explains so much. Okay, Ryan's personal Twitter is at Sir William Idol. And if you want to be featured on the show, if you just have some questions for us, send them in, hit us up.
All right. Thanks for listening, and keep struggling.
Booyah. Bye, Will.
Oh, I might. Yes, and this Bye, has Will. Been me.
Yep. And Will's been sitting here, too.
Yes.
Staring at us like a starving lizard.
Aw. It was good.
We'll give you a leaf.